And the case is submitted. We'll hear argument next to number 65, original Texas versus New Mexico. Ms. Uram, you on behalf of New Mexico, as I understand, may proceed.
That's
whenever
correct.
You're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, the heart of the current controversy under the Pecos River Compact lies in two issues. First, whether the Court may decide the ultimate issue in this case. Did man's activities in New Mexico cause all or part of the shortfall at the state line on the basis of inference or presumption?
Of the shortage?
Yes, Your Honor. The master found that there were 340,000 acre-feet departure. That's correct. The second issue is whether the Court should order New Mexico to pay in the future water in excess of its compact obligation to make up for a shortfall from 1950 to 1983 when New Mexico's obligation was unknown. As Justice White pointed out to the Court, the master did recommend a 340,000 acre-foot shortfall be determined here. We take no exception to that. What New Mexico does take exception to is that the master recommended that that entire amount of shortfall be presumed or inferred due to man's activities in New Mexico. New Mexico also takes exception to the master's proposal for relief. The master proposed actually four items for relief. First, he proposed that there be prospective relief, and we do not take exception to that. That's required under the compact. But then he went on to propose, to recommend that New Mexico also be required to pay in water for shortfalls from 1950 to 1983. He recommended that New Mexico be required to pay that amount of water in a maximum time period of 13 years when the shortfalls accrued over a 34-year period. And finally, he recommended that the Court order New Mexico to pay water interest at Treasury bill rates if New Mexico falls too far short.
How would that be determined?
He said it was to be determined according to the Treasury bill rate on the day when New Mexico is found to
yes,
be.
Yes, but what would be the interest? What would the interest rate be applied to?
It would be applied to the 340,000 acre-foot amount, whatever
you,
had been short.
You say 10% of 320,000 or so many acre-feet?
That's correct, Your Honor. He established a system in which...
You mean the interest would be paid in water?
The interest would
or
be
in
paid
money?
In water.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an interest payment in water that he recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And New Mexico takes exception to not the prospective relief, but all aspects of the retroactive relief.
Well, why do you call this retroactive relief? I find that a curious terminology for this.
Because in
that sense, any relief in an ordinary contract claim, you would consider to be retroactive relief.
Specific
you break a contract with me, and I sue you for the breach. For the damages that I've suffered, you would consider that retroactive relief?
No, Your Honor. We feel that this case is different, and we do use the word retroactive with the intention of pointing out that New Mexico's obligation, exactly what that amount of water is not known until man's activities is determined by this court. So at that point, we will know the obligation. It's as if it is...
You can say the same in a contracts case. I mean, you sometimes don't know definitely what your obligation was until there's a lawsuit and the court tells you precisely what it was. But you had it. It was there.
That may very well be, Your Honor. It doesn't matter whether one calls it retroactive or something else. The point is that we're being asked to pay back water for shortfalls that occurred over 34 years. New Mexico did not know its obligation at that time.
But is your conclusion from that that you shouldn't have to pay it back at all?
That's correct, Your Honor. We should not have to pay back any water under
the compact. Well, what good is a compact like this? If, you and Texas enter into an agreement that says you'll only use a certain amount of water coming down the Pecos, and in fact, New Mexico uses what it probably in good faith thinks it has a claim to, but which a master interpreting contract says, no, you didn't have a claim to. Do you say, well, we'll just kiss and make up, and from now on we'll obey the compact?
I understand the court's difficulty, but the compact
is... considerable.
The compact does provide relief. And the compact specifically provided this prospective relief for two reasons. And that prospective relief is real, Your Honor. The foundation of the question of what good is this compact is the assumption that there is no relief unless there is relief for past water due. The relief is future water. In this case, for example...
Well, I know, but suppose we said prospective relief is all you can get, and then New Mexico promptly doesn't deliver the water again.
Well, then New Mexico...
Then you're back in court, and you say only prospective relief.
That may be a different point, Your Honor. At that point, it is possible that the court could order different relief. But at this point, the compact does not permit...
With due respect, Mr. Rim, it's just like saying if, somebody's dog bites me and I try to sue and you say, you'll get relief. We'll prevent him from biting you again. That's not relief for the first bite. You're saying here the first bite is free.
Let me sort out the stages and perhaps you'll see that it's not a bite. There are two stages that one is concerned with under the compact. The first stage is the one that the court is now approaching. What is New Mexico's obligation? That's the first stage. The compacting parties have specifically considered whether at that stage they should provide for retroactive relief for debit credit accounting. And they said no. They said no for two reasons. The first reason is that they felt that they wanted to leave the compact flexible to accommodate change in the future. And so when they selected a method which required such complicated analysis, they said, we don't know enough about this river. This is an extremely difficult river. Let us leave it open in the future to change, to correction of the method, to replacement of a system to more accurately define the obligation. And if we tie it to a debit credit system, it will be impossible for the parties. It will make it very difficult for the parties to make the changes that are required that should happen in the future in this dynamic compact. So that was the first reason that they said, when we are arriving at New Mexico's obligation in the first instance, when we are trying to define man's activities, when we're coming to that point, in that instance there will not be retroactive relief. And they had a second reason, which is related to the first. That second reason is that New Mexico cannot know exactly what its obligation is until the obligation is determined in light of the man's activities finding. It cannot know in advance exactly what that amount of water will be. So there is no wrong.
That's true about a requirements contract or lots of other kind of things that aren't in the area of interstate combat. Someone agrees to take all of his requirements. Now, there may be arguments about what those requirements are. Ultimately, a court may tell that person your requirements were different than you thought they were. But the contract would nonetheless be enforced, don't you think?
Yes, and there is enforcement here, and that enforcement is prospective at this point. At a later point, if there's a violation of the compact, which we do not have here, If there's a violation of the compact, perhaps other relief would be appropriate.
I don't really understand this point about New Mexico not knowing what. New Mexico is supposed to be pouring water into the river if the level isn't at a proper flow. The requirement was very simple. Don't take any water out of it by man's activities. Wasn't that the sum total of the requirements imposed on New Mexico?
Well, the requirement is actually quite complicated, Justice Scalia. It's not simple to administer, and it's not simple to know. That's why this litigation has taken so long. It's according to the depletion as it appeared on the river in 1947. That's the first step. You have to determine the depletion on the river as it occurred in 1947. The second step is you have to determine by a fairly complicated inflow-outflow method the second step, the extent to which there were shortfalls. And then there's the third step, which is the ultimate issue in this case, the issue that sets New Mexico's obligation, and that is to what extent did man's activities in New Mexico cause the departure.
Yes, but as far as New Mexico's obligations were concerned, what obligations did New Mexico have other than not to take away from the river by man's activities any more than had been taken away by man's activities in 1947?
That is the obligation, but to do that, you have to go through fairly complicated
mathematics. No, you don't. All you have to do is to conduct no additional man's activities after 1947.
No, Your Honor, that's not correct, because the standard is not tied to uses in New Mexico in 1947. In other words, New Mexico cannot maintain all of the uses that it had on the river in 1947. It's tied to depletions which had appeared on the river. And rivers, particularly this river, which is tied to two separate aquifer systems, don't show depletions right away. It takes a while for the water to get there, and different rainfalls may cause different effects, and changing where a well is located may cause different effects. So it's not as simple as it sounds. As a factual matter, it's extremely difficult to know exactly how much water you need, what you need to do to remain in compliance with the standard. And I would point out, Justice Scalia, in light of your concern, didn't New Mexico know and didn't New Mexico do what it needed to do? The answer is that in 1961 and 62, when this commission made findings, New Mexico believed that it was in compliance according to those commission findings. And so it did continue to administer the river according to the commission findings at that period. It regulated all uses. It didn't let people make new uses, which would have an effect on the river. It took all those steps in order to assure that it would remain in compliance with the commission findings.
Counsel, where is the language that says this is all prospective?
Yes, Your Honor.
Where is the language?
The language is in Senate Document Number 109 at pages, I would refer the Court to pages 124.
Is it printed here before us?
It is stipulated Exhibit 1 in this case.
Well, where is it? Exhibit 1 in any of these volumes?
I don't know if Exhibit 1 is in the volumes that are before the Court, but it should have been transmitted to the Court as part of the record.
You don't know whether it's here or not?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't know if it is at
pages, yes. What you started to say.
It's pages 124 and 125.
Exhibit number 1.
Yes. What
about the payment of monetary damages in lieu of water itself for any amount found overused by New Mexico?
Your Honor, that is an option that we think the Court should consider if the Court does not agree with us.
Did you propose that or object to payment in kind and water below to the master?
Yes, Your Honor. We said that retroactive relief was not permissible under this particular compact at this stage.
Did you suggest if the master wanted to impose retroactive relief that he consider monetary damages?
We stipulated to his authority to do so, but he did not believe he had the authority. But, Your Honor, The compact, as we say, at this stage.
You ask that he do so instead of giving water relief.
We
may have stipulated that he had authority to do so, but did you ask that instead of giving water relief, he give monetary relief?
We did not specifically ask. We asked for a hearing on remedies.
O'Connor was asking.
You're asking now to have damages given rather than water.
We are asking for the alternative, Your Honor. And the reason we're asking for the
damages.
For the
water, money.
We're asking if the court decides that some relief must be given, and we do not think such relief is appropriate in this case for several reasons. But if, and I will explain those reasons, but if the court thinks some relief is appropriate, then we think that the court should consider the alternative of monetary damages. And the reason is that if the court is going beyond the compact to order equitable relief in this case, then let us look at the equities of this situation. The master's, the relief that the master has recommended would cause so much greater hardship to New Mexico than
where would you get the water to deliver this extra amount? Would you have to condemn it?
We would have to curtail the junior users, all the junior users, some of which go back to 1890, in the Roswell Basin. We would have to cut off, Justice White, a minimum of 112,000 acres of land in New Mexico to benefit a maximum.
Well, you wouldn't have to if you went out and condemned some other water rights.
We wouldn't have. There are alternatives, but those alternatives, Justice White, are speculative. They require further.
Well, they would only cost you money. But then you'd be taking the water away from maybe even priority users.
That's correct, Your Honor. They exact their own dislocations. Even if one could do any of the alternatives, and there is substantial question whether we could, they exact their own dislocations. We would be closing down the earliest surface water users in the in that basin.
Who will benefit from the increased water usage? Suppose you delivered the extra 34,000 acre feet a year into Texas. Is that water distributed according to a water system in Texas? Priority, is that it?
I assume so, Your Honor, but the record does not provide any testimony of exactly how Texas will use the water. The only testimony that was provided was one anecdotal witness, and from her testimony, we can calculate that if it were applied to the land, the most acreage that it could benefit is in the 4 to 10,000 acre range. So you would be shutting down a minimum of 112,000 acres in New Mexico to benefit a maximum.
And what about municipalities in Texas? Do they need water?
I assume they need water, Your Honor, but we've heard no testimony about how Texas is going to use the water. Nor would I point out, have we heard testimony about what Texas's harm has been in the past.
Well, whatever they're going to use it for, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't accept a certain amount of money for the water instead. I mean, there's no reason you can't get out of this by paying money. It's just a question of whether you're going to have to buy the water from Texas or whether the special master is going to have to figure out how much a foot acre of water is worth.
Well, did Texas stipulate to damages or did they oppose? They want water rather than money.
I believe right? Texas wants water rather than money.
Well, I only have the extra water for 10 years.
That's correct, Your Honor.
They wouldn't accept any amount of money for that water. That's hard to believe.
It is not
very irrational behavior. Not many economists would think that that's a possible scenario. But,
of course, you can still settle monetarily whatever we do here.
We can settle if the other party is settling for money.
That's right.
And, Your Honor, it's a matter of public record, although not a matter of this record. The Texas is not settling for money.
Well, you two states have had a chance to settle this controversy over, forever.
That's correct.
You haven't been able to do it.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we have continued to try to settle this controversy. But the controversy sticks now because the relief that the master has recommended is so onerous. It is such an extended hardship to New Mexico.
When you say we have tried to settle, you mean New Mexico or both of you?
Both states have tried to settle. But the relief is so onerous, and that is That is where we stand.
That's just what I can't believe. I mean, I don't care how much water they're getting. I'm sure they will accept a monetary settlement for the water. And it may have been in Texas's economic interest to get a water judgment first and then have New Mexico bargain with Texas about how much New Mexico will pay instead of the water. But I have no reason to believe that that Texas would behave so irrationally as not to, if in fact the water is worth more to you than to them, I'm sure they would come to an economic adjustment in dollars.
Justice Scalia, there was an exchange that addressed the issue of monetary payment in lieu of water, and there was a letter written from counsel for the state of Texas in response to New Mexico's offer to pay water. And the response is dated October 28, 1986. It is not a matter of this record, but it is public knowledge and public record. And it says, Texas has considered whether any amount of money might compensate Texas for the water owed us. And then it continues, we have determined that the answer must be no. Only payment of the debt in water will suffice to compensate Texas. The minimum acceptable payment must be 340,000 100-acre feet, coupled with specific guarantees of future compact compliance. We are not settling on the basis of money to compensate New Mexico for that reason. But the basic question is, if there were to be any equitable relief for Texas, how would anyone know what it's to be? We do not even know what the hardship might have been to Texas in all these years from lack of water.
But, of course, ordinarily, if you breach an agreement, you don't look so much at the hardship of the other party as the value of the performance of the person who breached.
You do look at both of those factors. That's correct, Your Honor. But see here, the relief that would be granted, if it looks back, is equitable relief and not contract relief.
Well, but specific performance is a form of equitable relief, and it simply requires you to do what you said you would do.
That's correct, Your Honor. But if I understand correctly, the analysis on the payment for anything past due, if there is to be such payment, is not within the framework of a contract, because this contract, the contracting parties here specifically rejected retroactive or any kind of payback system. They rejected that for reasons having to do with the way they wanted this compact to work, and those reasons are still valid. So it is only if the court goes beyond and equity intervenes that the court, it's within that equity authority that the court would be looking to consider any other sort of relief.
Did you make to the special master this argument that the compact didn't contemplate what you call retroactive relief?
Yes.
And what did the special master say about it?
He said that he believed it was without foundation. But Your Honor, we feel that the compact is quite solid on this point. There's a reason why the compact evolved that way. And the reason was to protect these other concerns that the compacting parties had.
Even if the contract contemplates specific performance, so to speak, it would be inequitable to order it in this case.
Yes. Yes, we did. But he
said, I don't have any authority about damages. But did you make this argument that nobody knew what this obligation was until recently?
Yes, we argued that nobody knew what the obligation was, that the Texas should have to present.
And the fundamental argument that went on for so many years under when Judge Breitenstein was special master was, what was the 1947 condition?
That's correct.
And there was a major difference between you two states, and that question came up here twice, didn't it?
That's correct. Let me turn quickly to the question of man's activities, but let me make one more point on hardship, and that is there is no evidence of any hardship in this record. The sole testimony is from one anecdotal witness, and her testimony suggests that, in fact, her hardships were unrelated to any activity by New Mexico. On the question of the basic man's activities determination, The reason that New Mexico is before the court on this question is that this is the first time that the man's activities issue is being decided. And it is of critical importance to us that this precedential decision be done in the way that New Mexico bargained for when New Mexico entered into this compact. When New Mexico agreed to this compact, at the outset of the negotiations in 1943, New Mexico made it plain that because this river was so variable and because the calculations required were so extremely difficult to do correctly, New Mexico wanted to ensure that it would never be charged for any losses which were not found due, which were not shown due to man's activities in New Mexico. The problem here is that what the master heard evidence on was not man's activities in New Mexico. He never heard evidence. What are man's activities in New Mexico and how do they affect the river? Now, what would this hearing have looked like if he had heard such evidence? Well, it would
have... We found that they weren't due to natural causes.
That's correct.
And so you then say, well, these weren't due to natural causes, now let's have a hearing to decide what they were due to?
That's correct, because the departure...
What is one of the possibilities other than man if it isn't nature?
There are unknowns, but that doesn't answer your question, Justice White, because...
So there's a third category, unknown.
There is a third category, but that still doesn't answer the question you raise, which is, if we've accounted for natural losses, why do we have to consider man's activities? And the reason is that the accounting for the natural losses is done on the basis, as this court noted in 1983, of speculation about what some of those entries are to balance the books. And as this court also noted in 1983, the inflow-outflow analysis, which enables anyone to look and to make those determinations, does not say a thing about causes. It doesn't address causes. It lumps everything together. So you cannot tell, as this court noted, as Judge Breitenstein noted in his two previous reports, you cannot tell from looking at any information from the inflow-outflow method what happened in New Mexico on man's activities.
Well, I thought the master conducted a hearing on this very question. Texas had a burden of proof and submitted whatever it was, exhibit number 79 or whatever. Yes, Texas exhibit 79, which purported to account for the loss in water. And New Mexico didn't produce anything in opposition, and the master made his decision. Now, what's the matter with that?
The thing that's wrong with it is that what the master heard at the hearing was the second stage analysis, departures and adjustments to departures. In other words, he considered what was not man's activities. So he said, here are the departures.
That was what Texas put on. New Mexico put on nothing on its own, and the master made the decision.
No, that's not correct, Your Honor. Both parties put on evidence as to what was not man's activities. New Mexico was of the understanding that there was to be further consideration of New Mexico's position, which is that you need to have your affirmative evidence on the extent to which man's activities in New Mexico might have caused these departures.
If you needed that affirmative evidence, would there have been any need to compute the 1947 flow? What was the purpose of that?
Because the standard against which everything is measured, you do the 1947 flow and all those computations annually. That's correct. You do that annually, and if you see a trend of departures between the two, then you look at man's activities, and that's the obligation.
Why? I mean, you if each of man's activities has to be proven, you're wasting time to go back and figure out what the flow. The whole purpose of computing the 47 flow was to see if there's any decrease from that flow. And when you find a decrease, you then find what was naturally caused, and the rest is man's activities. Otherwise, if you're going to have to show man's activities diverted so much water this year, man's activities diverted so much water the next year, if that must be proven, you've wasted a whole lot of time of figuring out what the 47 flow was, haven't you?
That's not correct, Your Honor, because of the nature of this particular river. This particular river is so difficult And if the rains come in at one place as opposed to another place, it has a whole different effect on the river. Because of the difficulty of this particular river, the parties set up a very complicated scheme. And they agreed at the time, and the federal representative agreed at the time, that this scheme was the fairest way to administer such a difficult river.
Why do you need that? It seems to me you've said that what Texas has to show is that man's activities diverted so many acre-feet of water each year. If Texas has to show that, what difference does it make what the 1947 flow was?
That's the basic standard that the compact.
But you don't need a standard. If you have to prove each individual man's diversion one by one, you don't need a standard.
New Mexico recommended in the negotiations that there be no standard, but Texas wanted a standard, and so as a consequence, we do have a standard and then a further limitation to man's activities.
It seems to me the whole purpose of the standard was to figure out what the natural flow of the river was. Then you can deduct from that standard whatever natural diversions had occurred in the interim, and all the rest would be man's activities.
The natural flow is not that reliable. Even the master has recommended that there be a 20% good faith margin set on delivery to account for the variability of this river. Look at the numbers in Table 2 of Texas Exhibit 79. It's attached to our brief. Variations like that do not occur on a regular river with regular uses, with regularly accounted for natural losses. The losses here, the natural losses, are estimated. If the rain comes in, for example, Justice Scalia, at the top of the river, it will still be counted in the analysis, but it will never make it to the state line. If it comes in toward the bottom of the river, it will make it to the state line and it will be counted the same. So you'll have two different consequences, the same numbers going in, the only difference being where does the rain fall. Natural losses account for a great deal of the variation in this river. Thank you,
Ms. Yerim. We'll hear now from you, Mr. Higgs.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, I think on the question of what New Mexico has termed retroactive relief, which is really giving Texas the water that it failed to deliver over all those years, the 1983 unanimous decision of this Court has already settled that question. New Mexico has offered the Court no reason to revisit that decision. In 1983, at the conclusion of the opinion, the Court return the case to the special master to conclude the proceedings, which is what this special master now has done, and said, determine first, there are two subsidiary questions that you need to determine. First, for each year of the period in dispute, and it's 1953-1983, under the 1947 condition, what's the difference between the amount of water New Mexico was supposed to deliver under the 1947 condition and the amount it actually delivered? And the second question is, to what extent were any underdeliveries under that, in the answer to that question, due to man's activities? The special master and the parties have spent the 4 years since then answering these questions. And New Mexico has asked y'all now to turn that into nothing but a very expensive academic exercise. That's just to train people in hydrology or something. I'm not sure why they want it that way. This is water that Texas bargained for in the compact in 1950 or 1949 when the compact was approved by Congress. If Texas had wanted...
Mr. Hicks, do you say that the master can and that this court can consider the equities involved in ordering any relief by virtue of the shortfall? Is this a case in which equities can be considered in determining what's to be done about the shortfall?
I want to give a careful answer to that, and it's important. This is a compact case, not an equitable apportionment case. And in determining what the extent of the shortfalls is, this court, there are no equities involved. This case has been to determine those amounts. And it's now been done. At the remedy stage, I suppose that Texas could have tried to insist that it's our water, it's been determined that it's our water, deliver every bit of it right now in New Mexico. Texas has not chosen to push that issue.
Now, I'm asking whether the court, in your view, and the master, have power to consider the equities in determining the remedies.
Only to a limited extent. There is a realistic geographical, geological limitation on how much can come down in 1 year, in fact, how much can be used in 1 year, I suppose. If all 340,000 acre feet came down in 1 year, I don't think it could happen, first. And secondly, if it did, it would wipe out
the river.
Excuse me?
There isn't that much water in the river.
That's right. So to that extent, the equities can be taken into account in ordering the relief. The equities, I think, have been taken into account in the recommendations made by the special master. He gave very careful consideration.
Well, I mean, let's suppose, and this isn't your situation, I guess, but let's suppose that we have existing, pre-existing uses in New Mexico and land being farmed for many generations and dependent upon the water, and we have land in Texas which has never received the water that it says it was entitled to receive, and it has no immediate consequence of a delay in receiving the shortfall. Now, is that a concern that we can be considering in determining what to do about it?
No, I don't think so.
No. I would have thought we had some residual equitable power to be concerned about this.
In the courts, I think the only equitable considerations that the court can give are realistically how much time should New Mexico be given to get this water down, given the circumstances in the basin, and it isn't the individual economic circumstances of the people that live along the river, because you have to remember there used to be farmers in Texas farming this land. When after the compact was entered, the water has essentially quit flowing. They still do some farming. They are there and ready to come back. There's testimony to that effect. So any harm that the court sees...
Up to a maximum of 10,000 acres ready to receive it. Right.
They're ready to receive for the past, the payback, the debt, 34,000 acre feet a year. And this would be over 17 years, essentially, not over 10, as New Mexico has depicted it. On top of that, it's very important to Texas, and I think it's the only way this case can ever end, is that there be an injunction against New Mexico for the future to abide by the compact, a very specific injunction.
What about monetary damages in lieu of water to make up the shortfall?
I don't think the compact allows that. Texas, as Justice Scalia, well, water in the West is a unique resource.
It has a monetary value.
It's very difficult to determine, and when you begin looking over 34 years of failure to deliver the hearing, the evidentiary hearing, which would be required, in which New Mexico has waited until after the proceedings are over to ask for, so that it would further delay the case, the hearing would be extremely complicated to determine what the value was in 1950 of the water they failed to deliver, the water in 51, in 52, the consequential damages, not just to the Pecos River Basin in Texas, but to all of Texas. I think there... just unbelievable difficulties in that.
It doesn't really solve that problem, because in fact, giving you however many 100,000 acre feet of water in 1995 is not the same as giving you the same number in 1932. It may be worth much more in 1995 than it was in 1932. I mean, superficially, it looks as though the fairest way is to give you the water you didn't get. But in fact, when you didn't get it back in 1952, it may not have been worth nearly what it's going to be worth when you finally do get it.
But it may be worth more, too.
Maybe.
And I think this observation you made, that the opportunity at the end of this case, there's a 3-year grace period under the recommendation of Special Master. Mm-hmm. There is an opportunity for Texas and New Mexico to negotiate to substitute.
Well, I was wondering about that. I thought Texans had had a sort of reputation of being enterprising, let's cut a deal kind of folks. And if you really said that you would not, no matter what, you want the water and you won't take any kind of money for the water, it seems.
I wrote the letter that Majorum read. I can answer the question that way. I said what she said. I suppose everything has its price. That's what economists say. And I don't know what may happen.
That's what the French say, too.
Forget about the damages or forget about the payback. The amount that you're supposed to deliver under the compact, that was increased over, well, the 340, or the annual delivery is higher than New Mexico thought it was by about, what, 10,000 acre feet?
It's higher than New Mexico delivered. There's no evidence in the record.
All right, let's take it that way. They're going to have to, even without the payback, they're going to have to send more water down than they have been delivering.
Yes.
And so they're going to have to get that somewhere.
Yes.
Where are they going to get that?
From the same place, I suppose, that they can get the water they have to pay back.
And didn't the special master say that's about 10,000 acre feet?
You can't predict exactly, but look over the 34-year period,
that's what
average 10,000 acre feet a year extra in addition to the payback. Yes.
Yeah, so.
It's really difficult to tell. But they have the same sources to obtain that water that they have to obtain the water they have kept from us all these years.
They're going to have to start doing that right away, aren't they? Soon as we affirm the special master, if we do?
Yes. They will have to do it.
They'll have to start. They don't have that 3-year grace period. Doesn't apply to that.
That's right. It does not. These numbers are computed, by the way, on 3-year running averages, so that it can average out over 3 years. It's hard to discuss this and make any sense. But that 10,000 acre feet, it may just be 4,000 acre feet the first year, and it may be 12,000 acre feet the next year, and 3,000 acre feet extra the next year. It's hard to tell in advance on the future deliveries.
Mr. Hicks, I gather that Texas doesn't want damages; it wants specific performance. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Usually, aren't equitable considerations appropriate in connection with a remedy of specific performance?
It is an equitable remedy, but I don't think the courts that order specific performance in contract cases, for instance, decide how long you have to pay back what you owe. It's a decision that equity demands specific performance in this case because of the particularly unique resource. And that's the situation here. It isn't an equitable decision to say New Mexico has 50 years to pay it back.
Well, I take the master's timetable, the 3 years and all the rest of it, smacks somewhat of equitable considerations, doesn't it?
I am in somewhat of a box here because it's true. As a realistic matter, it all can't come down in 1 year, and we don't want it to come down in 1 year, all in 1 year. We couldn't use it. The farmers there couldn't use it. As much as farmers in the West would take any kind of rain they can get, they don't want it all at once.
What are you going to do with 34,000 acre feet a year for 10 years, and then you won't have it?
I think what I just said is a good example. There's no farmer anywhere in the West that would turn down 10 good years of rain, knowing that in the 11th year they may not get as much rain.
They may have to go on to Oregon.
They might move back up to New Mexico to get that 34,000 acre feet that quit coming down. I don't know.
As a matter of fact, that is not economically very efficient to tell New Mexico farmers who will be able to use it after the payoff is done that they have to get out and come back 15 years later. Or whenever, 17 years later, okay? And to tell Texas farmers, you can come in and farm for 10 years, but you got to know you can set up this farm, but after 10 years, there's just not going to be water for it. That isn't very efficient, and I frankly wouldn't favor it if I didn't think that if it is that senseless, it wouldn't be economically favorable for the two of you to get together and work it out in money.
But I don't think the court has a choice on that. Otherwise, New Mexico is put in the position where it can always violate the compact. And every time we come back here after going through these very complicated mathematical formulas to get the answers, they can always say, but it isn't economically efficient for us to pay
it. We could make up a money figure.
I think that, as you suggested, economic reality, if it's all that difficult and all that inefficient, I'm not an economist, but the theory is that there's a price. And it's going to be a price that both New Mexico and Texas, somewhere along the way, their value of the water, valuation of water
intersects. I think that the special master has got for some things, they're going to have to determine good faith.
In his recommended decree, he said an 80% level for good faith.
Good faith.
Yes, it could have been another term, but I think you just used good faith. I don't know if it's an easy term to use.
If it's possible to determine good faith, then I suppose it would be possible to say that anybody who isn't in good faith is going to be held in contempt.
But I'm not sure I understand the question, but...
There certainly is some way of enforcing an injunction besides giving more water.
I suppose the New Mexico Water Authority person could be put in jail until they start delivering it, but he could be in jail at least a year.
That has any force at all? That's usually the way courts enforce injunctions.
I don't think it realistically does, because I don't think anybody in New Mexico realistically expects that somebody would be kept in jail a year while we do the calculations to find out if he should be. And I just don't think that's realistic. And I think that's what New Mexico has counted on all along in this case, to be quite honest, is that they have thought that when the judiciary's back is against the wall to order relief in this, it's going to be so massive in their view, as they're going to depict it, that it's going to hurt to do it. And the court's going to see that and say, let's find an easier way. The special master has found a very fair way.
What does the special master recommend a remedy if the state of New Mexico just doesn't deliver the underlying annual amount?
The future compliance question?
Let's assume that 15 years from now New Mexico has paid back all the shortfall, and then it just begins not to deliver the annual amount that the decree calls for. What's the remedy then?
Well, they would be, if the decree were entered that he recommended, they would be under an injunction to vote at the commission meeting for the formulas that they've stipulated.
Right.
And if they refuse to vote, I suppose we could say, hold them in contempt, please, and make them vote that way. The next question is, can you make them turn off the spigots to the farms?
Those are the normal ways to enforce an injunction.
But if we have to wait so long, Texas will never get this water. It'll be a few years till we can find out, and I don't think the court wants us running back after every year to say they missed it by a little bit. Hold them in contempt.
I know, but if the payback were not in water but in money, then you'd be starting out now from the point I hypothesized of 15 years later. New Mexico would just have the obligation to pay the annual amount, and if it didn't, you would have to find some way of enforcing the injunction.
I can't deny a payback in money is much easier for this court to administer and for everyone to administer. I don't know what the taxpayers at large in New Mexico might think about that, and I don't know what the farmers that wouldn't get the water and only part of the money most likely in Texas would think about that. And I don't think...
Well, we'd know what they thought about it if they had the choice of either doing it the way the special master recommends or paying an amount of damages that the special master might recommend.
The difficulty with this is New Mexico waited until the case was over to it didn't even raise this issue until it wrote a brief to y'all. In this case.
What, on money?
Yes. The special master said, what about money? And we all scratched our heads and said that it would be difficult. And nobody said, yes, money. New Mexico, the first time they ask is after the case is over.
Well, now, they said they stipulated that the master had that power.
But they did.
And the master said
but they didn't say
the master, though, as I read him in his recommendation, thought that he did not have the power, and I really read him his report as wishing he did.
Your Honor, Texas, in some sense, wishes he did. That's, in some sense, it's a difficult...
Did you have that impression that the master thought he just lacked the power to consider money damages, but wished he did. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is it's going to delay Texas ever getting any relief by at least 5 years. It would take 5 years to adjudicate this. I am convinced. And New Mexico waited till the end. It would delay further for a reason that is independent of the two states in a way that would only harm Texas. It would delay our relief. When, on the other hand, if the court ordered that water be repaid, then it puts, for the next 3 years while New Mexico is getting its house in order to do the payback, it puts us in a position where each state has to begin to evaluate how much is it worth.
Wait a minute. You'd be getting the river would be coming up to the 47 agreement immediately. I mean, that part of all of this would be affirmed. And, right?
That's what they've supposed to have been doing for the last 34 years, and they haven't done it.
All right, but the level would now be established, and that would be squared away. You might be getting the money payment. Let's assume you get the money payment 5 years from now, but you'd get it all at once. You can consume all the money at once. You can't consume the final water payment, you say, won't be until 17 years. Maybe you'd rather have all the money in five rather than the water trickled out, so to speak, over 17 years.
I don't disagree with your evaluation of it. I don't disagree with the difficult position I think the court finds itself in seeing that, in a way, it's less painless to give money. I know, but I suspect the court is reluctant to order a state to disrupt.
You wouldn't have any tougher time distributing the money than you would the water. How do you know who's entitled to this water? What would you do with the money if you got money?
Well, on the question about who's entitled to the water, there's an adjudication that's gone through the administrative process on the river and it's determined who has the water rights there. So that settles that question. As to the money, it's very difficult to determine because, in a sense, it's because of all the consequential damage questions. Mm-hmm. Does the fact that the farmers...
A lot of money, would it?
Excuse me?
A lot of money?
It would be... Another problem with this is I think it would be so much money that New Mexico couldn't pay it. Texas, it would bankrupt New Mexico.
I gather Texas could use it these days.
These days, we would love to have it, and don't think there hasn't been a debate in state governments about this issue.
Is there any claim on the part of individual holder or landowners to this money, or can Texas just plant a bunch of tree farms over around Marshall with it if they want to?
I don't know. I simply don't know how this would be done. It would be like one of the most complicated class action distributions you can imagine.
Well, if it's too much money, of course, they could, I guess New Mexico could offer to sell you water from the Pecos River instead.
I don't disagree with any of these speculations. It's just that I don't see what standards the court has about it. I think if the pressure is put on through the order of the repayment of water as the compact requires.
Why not do what you did with the oil money in Alaska? You gave it to everybody. Yeah, but
that also is difficult because I think this court had to hear a constitutional case on the way that was.
Yeah, well, they ended up, they got it.
I wanted, in the short amount of time I
hesitate to say that the ingenuity of people cannot find a way of spending money.
It would be no trouble. I have a fear that my paycheck won't be coming in September if the deficit continues. On the question of whether there was a hearing on man's activities, which is the second crucial issue New Mexico raises, it is clear there was a hearing on man's activities. It could not be clearer in the record. The special master, in a discussion with the attorney for New Mexico at the conclusion of all these hearings on May 21st, observed to that counsel that he had told them over a year ago of how this particular exhibit, 79, the crucial exhibit, would be treated, how he viewed its working. And exhibit 79 is kind of the end of an evolutionary process because the parties exchanged documents, as New Mexico says in its brief, the precursors to this exhibit, for a year before the final hearing. New Mexico was on notice. On May 22nd of 1985, the special master entered an order that in paragraph 7 said, in November there's going to be a hearing on man's activities. And there was a hearing in November.
They may have put it that way, but I think their real complaint is not that there was not a hearing, but that the hearing was not one at which the master said, okay, show me what man's activities have taken out of the river. Rather, the hearing was one in which he said, you show me why when you deduct all the natural diversions from the original flow, everything else isn't man's activities. It's really a burden of proof complaint they have, isn't it?
The special master's recommendations are that you find that Texas met the shouldered the burden of proof and met it. And it did. There's testimony to that effect. New Mexico's real complaint is that it failed to put on any evidence and it wants a second chance. It had the opportunity. It was on notice and it did nothing. I don't know why it did nothing.
It didn't have the opportunity in November, did it?
It did have the opportunity in November.
I thought the master said we're just going to hear a kind of oral argument from lawyers.
No. November 18th and 19th and December 3rd and 4th were the days of the hearings on the causes of depletions, all of the causes of depletions, man's activities, natural causes, and also the legal adjustments that had to be made. The parties went out, as the record demonstrates, and we spent all day on December 18th reaching agreement on numerous technical matters that have to do with the man's activities question.
Well, in theory, and Texas had the burden of proof.
I don't think Texas had the burden of proof. I think
Texas wasn't the claimant below.
Texas was the claimant, but I think the burden of proof on man's activities should shift to New Mexico, but I think the court doesn't
Is that how it was handled in
effect?
Texas didn't shoulder the burden of proof
Texas
man's activities.
What I was going to say is Texas did shoulder the burden of proof, notwithstanding its view that it didn't have to. It shouldered
you did it in a negative sort of way. You said, here are the natural causes, and everything else has to be a fortiori man's activity.
That's true, and there's no other way to do it. What New Mexico wants is something that's irrelevant under the compact, and that is it wants not a generic determination of whether man's activities caused the depletions, which is what Texas did through Exhibit 79. What it wants is to be able to trace each activity of man to its origin, to see if Farmer Jones, when he irrigated his alfalfa crop, caused X amount of depletion. That's irrelevant under the compact. It might be helpful to New Mexico in deciding how it wants to readjust, send the flows to Texas. It might be helpful to determine that, but it's irrelevant to the proceeding before this court. It has nothing to do with the case. That's what this problem about unknowns is. It's like a sinister force or something. There is no explanation. It has to be either nature or man's activities. New Mexico, Texas has proven that it's man's activities. New Mexico, in essence, really wants to say it's this activity of man.
You didn't prove anything unless you proved it in the 1947 assessment, because all you came in and proved was the natural causes that you know of. But the natural causes, that is non-proof.
I mean, that's proof.
Suppose you hadn't put on any natural causes. Then you would have proven even more man's activities, wouldn't you?
No, because our proof was we have taken care of every known natural cause that there is. In fact, it's all based on stipulations. And there's nothing left by logic except human causes. And that is not a failure of proof. That's a proof. It's the way a lot of things are proved. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Well,
there's no other way to ever have this compact work except that way. I don't think it's at all improper. On the water interest, I wanted to mention that the water interest, if New Mexico fails to act in good faith as defined under the special master's recommended decree, the water interest does not run on the whole 340,100 acre feet. It runs on the undelivered balance remaining. And it also never starts running until at least 12 years.
If there's any shortfall on the 1947 condition delivery, interest doesn't run on that, does it?
I'm sorry. If there's any shortfall.
Let's assume that the.
For the future, there's no interest running.
No.
So Texas, the equities, I think, in terms of the delivery of the payback, the equities have been so fairly balanced. Texas doesn't get any interest. If New Mexico acts in good faith, it's only a contingent interest. Even if they get interest, it doesn't start running until 12 years after the last adjudicated violation. On top of that, New Mexico has known for at least 13 years since the litigation began that Texas is challenging what they've done, and they have taken absolutely no steps to adjust the activities along that river. Their chief water authority testified that he wouldn't do it unless you all ordered him to.
By what percentage did the did the determination of the amount owed under the compact each year under the 47 condition. How much did that will that increase the flow at the state line? By what percentage? Half?
I think the average flow is approximately 75,000 acre feet over the last 30 years, and this would increase it on an average
on
10,000
acre feet.
So one seventh.
But then if you add on top of that, adding 34,000 acre feet a year, 34,000 acre feet isn't far from half of the average annual flow.
That's true.
You add 10 onto that, so you're going to be it's going to be quite a different river, isn't it? At the
it should
line.
Be, because it would be then for be the river that we bargained for. It wouldn't be the river as New Mexico has configured it for the last 34 years. That's the reason it's so important for the court to keep in mind that this is not an equitable apportionment case, but a compact case. If Texas had come before the court in 1920 as it started to and sought an equitable apportionment, and let's say the order had been entered that would divide the river up as we ultimately did in the compact, there wouldn't be any question right now about is it fair to New Mexico to have to pay back water it withheld. What you, Justice White, are comparing the situation in the future to, if they have to comply with the compact, is to a situation where they weren't complying with the compact.
I'm not making an argument. I'm just asking for information.
Right, I understand. I guess I get too involved in the argument. I have no further.
Thank you, Mr. Hicks. The case is submitted.
The Honorable Court is now adjourned until Monday next at 10 o'clock.